crowd. Kisses from the girls and cheers from the crowd. And the widows from the last war crying to their shrouds. Here comes the big parade. Don't be afraid. Price is paid. Don't be ashamed. War's a game. World in flames. So start the parade. Oh, I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd and I keep an old Castro down. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said. Sarge, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen and I always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat and my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school and I'm a-working in a defense plant. I got a dislocated disc and a racked up back. I'm allergic to flowers and bugs. And when the bombshell hits, I get epileptic fits and I'm addicted to 1,000 drugs. I got the weakness woes, I can't touch my toes, I can hardly reach my knees. And if the enemy came close to me, oh, I'd probably start to sneeze. I'm only 18, got a ruptured spleen and always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat, my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school and I'm a-working in a defense plant. Ooh, I hate showing lie, and I hope he dies. But one thing you gotta see, that someone's gotta go over there, and that someone isn't me. So I wish you well, Sarge, give him hell. Kill me 1,000 or so. And if you ever get a war without blood and gore, I'll be the first to go. Yes, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen and I always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat and my feet are flat and my asthma's getting worse. Yes, think of my career, my sweetheart dear, my poor old invalid aunt. Besides, I ain't no fool, I'm a-going to school and I'm working in a defense plant.
Panda guy, do 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 do. Panda guy, do 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 do. Here comes Panda guy.
Pender what? Are you crazy or something?
No, you know Panda guy, street Chinese for street. Gold guy, kefir guy. How about sesame guy?
What? What guy? What?
Panda guy.
Hi, welcome to Panda Guy. I'm Jenny Lee, and tonight we'll have for you the Bamboo Brew interview and a focus on the Chinatown street that would be no more as of this weekend. We'll be back in a minute, so stay tuned. The Chinese Benevolent Association held a meeting last Sunday dealing with the W5 issue. Panda Guy was there along with representatives from most of the Chinese organizations in Vancouver. The meeting did not begin until after 2 in the afternoon because the speakers were waiting for people to find seats, as the CBA was not expecting such a full house. The meeting started with an outline about what happened in Toronto 3 months prior to the airing of the program. The speakers brought the audience up to date with the current happenings related to the W5 controversy. Following the discussions and various presentations by interested parties, it was decided that Vancouver should form a common committee not only against the W5 issue, but also against any similar problems in the future affecting the community. It was also decided that within this committee, there should be 3 subgroups, one dealing with fundraising, another dealing with the media, and the third dealing with research and publication. These subgroups would work under the control of the CBA. At the end of the meeting, all the parties interested in joining the subgroups were asked to sign up. The CBA decided to hold an in-group meeting for planning further action. So stay tuned for more information from Pender Guy.
Listen closely. You are hearing a sound that you may never hear again. This street diversion will be closed January 27th, 1980. Those words appear on a sign posted just adjacent to the bus stop on the 4-lane Penderkiefer diversion. Discreetly, that sign heralds a new stage in the development of the Chinese Cultural Center and of Vancouver's Chinatown. Here's how the Vancouver Sun reported the development. Flashback, Friday, September 28th, 1979.
New Chinatown bypass, no boon for commuters. Commuters heading east from downtown Vancouver are just a few weeks away from losing the 4-lane Penderkiefer diversion and acquiring a probably inferior substitute. A 3-lane spur known as the Pender-Taylor connection will draw traffic currently grinding through Chinatown and put it onto the south bypass or west Pender. Only 2 small pieces of land remain to be bought from Marathon Realty Co. Limited to complete the south bypass along the northeastern edge of Falls Creek, City Engineer Bill Curtis says. For a total cost of roughly $600,000, the south bypass will pull non-local traffic away from Pender and other streets to the north and put it on a dogleg made up of Taylor and Quebec. Most of the bypass is already in place, with just the Taylor connections to Pender and to Smith incomplete. The South Bypass is part of the long-promised ring road system, which is intended to divert traffic not destined for the downtown core by supplying fast roads around it. At present, all those cars and trucks are pushing through the middle of the core at a snail's pace. The Pender-Taylor connection is expected to provide some relief for the pedestrian-oriented Chinatown and, to a lesser extent, Gastown, Curtis says. The connection was made necessary by the plans for the Chinese Cultural Center, which will be set down on top of the Penderkiefer diversion, forcing its closure. As soon as the connection is finished, the diversion can be closed off and construction of the center can begin. Curtis notes that the connection will offer fewer lanes in total than it replaces, so it's not a great solution. The Pender-Taylor connection will have only 3 lanes, 2 going north, 1 south, a marked reduction from the 4 one-way lanes on the Kiefer diversion. Curtis says eventually there will be 4 lanes when a building to the east on the city-owned land is demolished.
Pender Guy spoke with Dave Rutberg of Vancouver City Hall earlier today via telephone.
Mr. David Rutberg in the City Hall Traffic Department is the assistant city engineer for the City of Vancouver. On Sunday, January 27th, 1980, the Penderkiefer diversion will be closed quite permanently. Mr. Rutberg, why?
Well, this closure of the diversion is being done to accommodate development of the Chinese Cultural Center, which will be using the existing street area there for expansion of their development in that area.
exactly what changes are planned?
Well, right now, traffic is one way on Pender and Kiefer Streets in the area. With the closure of the diversion, Pender and Kiefer between Carroll and Main Streets will revert to a two-way operation. In addition, Columbia Street between Pender and Kiefer will become a two-way operation. And as a result, the one-way traffic will no longer be allowed. It'll be two-way traffic on two of the major streets there in the Chinatown area, Pender and Kiefer Streets.
Over what time scale will these changes be implemented?
Well, barring major snowstorms or major problems, we do anticipate making these changes effective Sunday, January 27th, 1980. The crews will be out there on that day changing the signs around. The traffic signals will have to be rearranged, and there will have to be some new signing put in. And we anticipate, again, barring major weather problems, making all of those changes on the 27th on Sunday, so that when people go to work on Monday, the two-way operation should be in effect.
What kinds of monetary costs are involved in this kind of project, these changes?
The actual costs associated with the adjustments to the traffic signs and the signals, this sort of thing, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 20,000. In that general terms of reference, I don't have the exact cost for that.
Bill Curtis is the city engineer for the City of Vancouver in the September 28, 1979 edition of the Vancouver Sun. Mr. Curtis was quoted as saying, quote, "It's not a great solution," end quote, in reference to the planned changes. Why?
I'm sorry, I don't know what the context in which that quote was made. Could you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Okay, he was discussing here the Pender Kiefer diversion, and the paragraph before reads, "The connection was made necessary by the plans for the Chinese Cultural Center, which will be set down on top of the Pender Kiefer diversion, forcing its closure. As soon as the connection is finished, the diversion can be closed off and construction of the center can begin." Curtis notes that the connection will offer fewer lanes in total than it replaces, so, quote, "it's not a great solution," end quote.
Well, certainly the entire eastern end of the downtown area is deficient in traffic capacity. Cordova, Hastings, Pender, Kiefer are essentially the only streets that really go through the neck area down there. And the loss of capacity on the Pender Kiefer diversion, you know, will be a reduction in capacity servicing the downtown from the eastern end of the city. Now, keep in mind that we are providing some replacement for the loss of the diversion. A new route has been developed to bypass Chinatown, and that will be opened. In fact, it is open right now to provide some replacement. This new routing will be open, or is now open, connects Pender Street to Taylor Street, which gets the motorist onto the South Bypass and onto Quebec and Terminal Main Street area. So there is a new route that has been developed now, which will channel off some of the through traffic from going through the Chinatown area. So we do lose the diversion, and we do revert to a two-way operation on these streets, which will result in some additional congestion, but a partial replacement has been provided by this new routing.
All in all, then, in consideration of the new routing, would you tend to agree or disagree with Mr. Curtis?
Well, I think certainly in the short term, I would agree with him that there is some loss of capacity. However, we are also working on other connections to the South Bypass, connecting up to Smythe Street, which is further to the west, which will ultimately provide, I think, a good replacement for the Pender Kiefer diversion.
What kinds of alternatives were considered besides this option?
Well, there was other options considered to try and accommodate the Chinese Cultural Center without using the diversion. However, these proved to be unworkable. I think, you know, once the Cultural Center needed the diversion to provide for their development program for the Cultural Center, then it, you know, became necessary to close that diversion and look at alternatives in terms of two-way operation on Pender and Kiefer Streets.
I'm going to read you very quickly a letter published in the January 8th, 1980 edition of the Vancouver Sun, and I'd like your reaction to the contents, Mr. Curtis, if possible. Traffic changes will cause delay, is the title. I would like to complain about your paper's failure to report that on December the 11th, Vancouver City Council approved some changes in the traffic and transit arrangements in Chinatown to go into effect January 27th. The changes include closing of the Penderkiefer diversion to allow the full construction of the Chinese Cultural Center and the return of the two-way traffic and bus operation on Pender Street between Carroll and Main, with parking allowed at all times. The result will be that passengers on the Robson, Fraser, Canby, Kingsway, Knight, McDonald, Stride, 12th, 6th, and Shopper Free bus routes could spend an extra 3 to 5 minutes getting through Chinatown. They will be delayed because A, there will be over 100 buses in both directions carrying over 3,500 passengers in the peak rush hour, yes, 1 hour, trying to get through Chinatown. B, the four-lane, 42-foot pavement of Pender Street will have only one traveling lane in each direction, while the other two lanes will be used for parking, even during the rush hours. And C, congestion will be caused by cars trying to get in and out of their parking spaces. There is no similar situation on any street, other street in Vancouver. So while many other major cities are giving all kinds of preferential treatment to transit vehicles, Vancouver is going backward in order to satisfy a few Chinatown merchants and Davidowicks. How do you feel about the letter's contents?
Well, I think it's difficult at this time to predict the exact impact on the transit operations through Chinatown. Certainly, this is one of the elements that we are going to be monitoring very closely within the next couple of weeks after the implementation of the changes in order to assess those impacts on transit. Certainly, one of the elements we'll be looking at, if there is delays, is the potential removal of on-street parking on Pender Street during the rush hours in order to facilitate the movement of buses of transit. These types of issues will be reported to City Council for a decision on the on-street parking. You have to remember that as part of the downtown transportation plan, Pender Street is being downgraded to more of a local street, providing access to Chinatown, parking for the merchants along there. It has been recently improved to a better pedestrian environment. And all of these changes that have occurred in the past are means of downgrading it to make it a more of a local street rather than a through street. The through street or the through movements will be accommodated by this new bypass route, which I referred to earlier. If it's not successful in diverting those through traffic trips around Chinatown, if there's a number of cars trying to get through Chinatown for their through trips, or if there's, congestion created by this, then the bus operation, I think, will suffer. But that's something that we would want to look at very carefully and monitor to see what the effects are.
Is the statement accurate that Vancouver is going backward in order to satisfy a few Chinatown merchants?
Well, there are a number of streets that, function with on-street parking and, as local street that have transit operations right now. And I think, again, this is, something that we'll have to monitor. And if it does, seriously affect the transit operations, then we'll have to consider changes. But again, it's hard to project what might happen at this point, and I think we just have to see what does develop as a result of the two-way operation of Pender.
The closure and rerouting plans will have some effect on the traffic and transportation patterns of the Chinatown area. In terms of both pedestrian and vehicular traffic, what do you perceive these changes to be?
Well, again, it's a matter of Pender Street will become more of a local access street, kind of a collector street for the Chinatown neighborhood. Instead of having a lot of through traffic trips on Pender, we anticipate that there'll be more local trips, trips to the merchants in the area. There'll be more pedestrian activity, all of these sorts of things, and hopefully the through trips will be diverted around through the bypass route.
How do these local changes fit into the gestalt, the total transportation and transit picture of the downtown Vancouver area, and in fact of the Greater Vancouver Regional District?
Well, I think it's all consistent with our downtown transportation plan, which has been developed and reviewed by City Council. And, you know, again, I think it's a means of developing a more local character to Pender Street, a better pedestrian environment, and to relieve the Chinatown area from those through traffic trips and carry them around in certain bypass routes. So it's consistent with our planning for the downtown area in terms of transportation access and usage on the various streets.
Thanks very much. We've been speaking with Mr. David Redberg in the City Hall Traffic Department, and he's the Assistant City Engineer for the City of Vancouver.
Yes, that was Mr. David Redberg of the City Hall, Vancouver City Hall Traffic Division. You're listening to Pender Guy, BC's English Language, Chinese-Canadian radio program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO FM 102.7. If you're not already a member of Vancouver Cooperative Radio, you can join very easily. It's only about $20, or if you're already a member, you can renew it at 18. Just dial us up at 684-8494 a little later in the show. As a matter of fact, we had a mini marathon last week, and it was very successful, and we'll have more on that a little later on today, too. Coming up, Bamboo Brew.
Right now I have with me Jim Wong Chu, who tonight will be playing a different role. Aside from being a contributing member of Pender Guy, he's here to play entrepreneur or empresario, which is easier to pronounce, plugging it, to put it bluntly, the upcoming concerts of Bamboo Brew, an Asian American band. Okay, first of all, Jim, what prompted you to bring up Bamboo Brew?
Well, we realize that there's a lot of talent, a lot of talented musicians in Vancouver's Chinese community, as long as around with the Asian community. So we thought that the only way we can, you know, get a lot of excitement going is to bring up people that we've seen down in the stateside, especially in San Francisco and LA, people that have actually produced their own music and have written their own songs, produced their own records, and have come up with a version of music that is quite unique.
What kind of music do they play?
Well, I think, let's go back 10 years ago. When they first started out, it's the protest kind of theme, political type of songs. That was in the Vietnam War days. And subsequently, the old folksy, bluesy kind of music gave way to more of a jazz outlet, because apparently the jazz format gave a lot more interpretation, especially the use of percussions and a lot of traditional instruments.
I suppose that carrying on the kind of music that Charlie Chin established early in 1975 with the Asian American music album Classic, now called A Grain of Sand.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Bamboo Brew made up of?
Well, Bamboo Brew is a name that we just coined because we decided that it was kind of difficult to coin a name. Bamboo Brew basically is, well, bamboo is a kind of version of what we Chinese call ourselves as Juxing, you know, a sort of a local-born person. The brew is actually a mixture, I guess, a mixture of various kinds, and the bamboo signifies the Asians in perspective. So the Bamboo Brew as a group is four different individual singers. And do you want me to describe who they are?
Sure, give a bit of the background of each, because they're quite interesting.
Okay, well, first of all, we have a Chinese-American named David Wong. And he started out as a violinist, I guess at the age of 9, like every middle-class kid, I guess. But he made his way up to concert master and so on up into high school, and finally he decided he didn't like it, so he dropped it. But when he got to university, he began to pick it up again, and he played it as a jazz instrument. And he's also a playwright, a very accomplished playwright. He's done many other things in the theater works right now. So he's a writer as well as a singer. He also writes songs.
Who else is in Bamboo Brew?
Well, there's a group that performs at various colleges. That's Robert Kukuchi Nagoyo, and he is part Japanese and part Filipino. And Sam Takimoto, and she is Japanese-American. And they play at various colleges, and they call themselves Bamboo. And for them, it's a fusion of Latin, kind of a Latin tempo with jazz kind of sound. And it's very up-tempo stuff. And Robert's the one who does a lot of the writing. Sam is starting to write music herself, too, at this stage.
Okay, what about the fourth member?
Well, Phil Gotanda is a well-known playwright already. He's written plays for the East West Company, and he hails actually from, as far as I know, from New York. And Phil writes a whole different bag of songs all by himself, and some very witty and very sort of whimsical type of music. He specializes in piano. He plays the piano in the performances.
Jim, is it possible to describe in words what Asian American music is?
Well, Asian American music is, there's almost no description at this point, because basically the Asian American music would be a hybrid music, something like the Black American music. And it's the one that is becoming increasingly identifiable at this point of time. The music is basically a lyrical form. It expresses in the words that it uses in the lyrics what the struggles and the theme, the spirit of the Asian American experience.
Has Bamboo Brew put out an album?
Bamboo Brew, no. The two of the group belong to a group that put out an album before, and they're from basically from San Francisco and San Diego. The two of them is Robert and Sammy, and they're part of a group on the album called Yokohama.
Maybe better if we played a cut off that to give the audience a taste of what Asian American music is. I'd like to read the liner note to Tan Foran, the choice cut that we're playing. In 1942, assembly centers were set up on the Pacific coast to temporarily house Japanese Americans who were to be sent inland to more permanent relocation centers. Tan Foran was a racetrack at the time, and today the evacuation aspects have been all but forgotten. This song is dedicated to those incarcerated in hopes that such abridgments of civil rights will cease.
Is anybody home? I thought somebody lived here. Once upon a time, there were people in this place, but that was long ago, and now you'll never know that they were even here, and memories are unclear. Thank you.
That was Tanforan, or Is Anybody There?, written by Peter Horikoshi and Sam Takamoto, one of the members of Bamboo Brew. Jim, when are they coming up?
Well, the group, as far as we got in the last information, is that, well, they're due to perform on the 28th and 29th and the 30th of this month. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So we have news that they will be in Seattle on Friday, already Friday evening. And they will, because they have to make another arrangement in Seattle, because in fact we found out that we arranged a special thing going on down there. They'll be performing also in Seattle later on. So the group will be coming up here on Sunday morning, and we will then bring them around and do the sound checks and bring them into the Vancouver Sculpture Center and set things up right, show them the town in the shortest time possible, and then feed them. And then we're going to put them into the first show.
Can I ask you how you like playing Impresario for
It's hectic. This, see, the reason why we did this, that Rick and I have actually taken on...
Rick Shiomi, right?
Yeah, have taken up the promoting of this, is because one thing, it's the first time any major performance by any Asian American group is done in Vancouver. So nobody knows how people respond to this. So we're taking the risks. And since the group has actually, the group in San Francisco has agreed to come up here just for the ride, so they're doing it from almost nothing. You know, we provide them the plane tickets and feed them and so on, and they'll come up, that type of thing. So we were able to come up with a performance with a relatively cheap fee, and also a cheap price for the audience to see how people respond to it. I like to mention, though, that on the Monday night performance, for people that are interested, the Monday night performance on January 28th, after the performance, we're going to have a special reception for this group, since it's such a historical event and a lot of our friends are going to be there. So we're going to have a little wine and cheese. I hope the alcoholics will stay home, though. No.
Wine and cheese would be kind of like
a... We'll get some fruit punch or something. But on that evening, after the performance, there will be a wine and cheese, and you can get to meet the performers and talk to them and also talk to your friends. On the 29th, what's happening is that this group has so much material that on the 29th, they're going to come up with a completely different program. So we're going to have two different programs of music on the 28th, on the Monday and Tuesday. So for people who like the Monday performance, they can also come for the Tuesday performance.
Oh, is that a hint for people that want to attend both performances,
right,
too?
But also, yeah. just before I get any further, there is also a special performance sponsored by the Chinese Students Association at UBC, and that's on the 30th, on Wednesday night, at the Sub Auditorium. And their fee is a little cheaper. It's because that they can get the auditorium for nothing. So there is three performances.
Okay. The next cut of music we'd like to play is called The Greatest Changes, written by another member of the Bamboo Brew Band, by Robert Kikuchi Nagoyo. In the liner notes it states, "We wish to emphasize that there is a need for social change in America. This task does not belong to any one person or group, but is the responsibility of all the people of this nation. People make up a society, and it is people who must change it. As an individual, it is easy for one to feel helpless and ineffective. One must keep in mind, however, that strength lies in numbers, and the energy of many individuals working together can prove to be an invincible force."
Though I may be one person, one raindrop against 1,000 mountains, I will not be buried. Instead, I'll wash one pebble from one mountain. And if we are two people, two drops of rain against the granite, it may seem impossible, but eventually that rock will crumble. And can you imagine a thousand people or more? One by one, 10 by 10, like a thousand clouds in a thunderstorm. Mountains can't move, we can move the mountains only if we choose to work toward unity. Yes, we've got to work toward unity. I am only one person who sees 1,000 troubles, but I am not afraid to try and make a change. We'll take a struggle. I know we are many people, different people who may be different from you, but we're all in this together. So let's respect and learn to work together. Then we can overcome 1,000 troubles or more. One 10 by 10, with 1,000 people in a human storm. You and I can prove, we can prove united, only if we choose to work in harmony. Yes, we've got to work in harmony. One person that may not seem to matter. You feel so insignificant, but recall that rainfall on the mountain. Realize that one person is one step toward a movement, and even in the oceans, the smallest things can make the greatest changes. Then we can overcome 1,000 troubles or more. 10 by 10, like 1,000 clouds in a thunderstorm. You and I can prove, we can prove united, only if we choose to work toward unity. Yes, we've got to work in harmony. We must learn from the ants, one by one, lifting leaves, and the leaves branch upon branch, stopping the rain, and the rain, drop by drop, can fill an ocean. Only by working together can the smallest things make the greatest changes, one by one.
Songs written by Asian Americans that express their feeling about the movement and reflect the history and issues of its people and their community. I'm speaking now with Jim Wong Chu, part of a production company called...
actually it's called Breaking Even Productions.
How true is the statement?
It's very true. Rick and I have gotten together, and we were sort of saying, well, why don't we form a little company? And I said, well, what can we form? But actually what happened is that since this thing is the first time up in Vancouver, we're basically doing it on a break-even basis. And what we do is that if we figure out if we can make a 70% audience on everything, and we keep the expenses low and the tickets low, well, we might have a lot of fun. So we called it sarcastically break-evens.
What's in the future for break-even?
Well, this is the dipstick for Vancouver, I guess. We want to see how people respond to this. We want to see how the reviews are. We want to see how many people come to this concert and so on. And we don't know for sure, but you know, it could be incredible. We can be jam-packed, and also the other way, we might have enough people. But if it goes off very well and the response is very good, very positive, I like to, by the end of this year, possibly bring up a play from the Asian American Theory Workshop down in Oakland, in San Francisco. And the Asian American Theory Workshop has been working on for about 4 or 5 years, and they produce some incredible plays. You know, titles like Yellow is My Favorite Color, you know, odd, you know, odd things of that kind. Hollywood Mirrors, talking about the Asian experience in Hollywood. There's incredible things happening down there, and this is just one group.
Oh, before I forget, back to the Bamboo Brew concert. I understand that Coco Rose Prohibited will also be playing.
Oh, yes. Well, one of our objectives was that we wanted to promote Asian American bands, Asian American bands, but also we want to promote our own local bands here. And Coco Rose has been playing up, they'll be playing the warm-up set. They'll be playing about five songs before the actual performance comes on the air. And they have been playing in a lot of community benefits, and classical joints, and they went down to Seattle Arts Festival and played there. And they have, they're changing around. They're becoming a more of a jazz type of music.
It'll be exciting to hear them play then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's run down the dates and names. They'll be playing at the Vancouver East Cultural Center January 28th and 9th. At 8 p.m., mm-hmm. advance tickets are $350 and can be purchased at the CCC or the Vancouver East Culture Center. Number is
254-9578. You can reserve tickets. All you have to do is during the daytime, phone up the Vancouver East Cultural Center, and the number is 254-9578, and make a reservation and say okay for which night, and they'll reserve a ticket. Make sure that you have it there to pick up. You want to mention the other performance?
Okay, the special performance, January 30th at the University of British Columbia, or UBC as we call it. Information and tickets regarding that particular concert can be obtained at the Chinese Students Association of UBC. What's the next cut we're playing that we're going to be ending on?
Well, this is the other part of the group. Now, in this, okay, three other performers are going to be coming, are going to be on it. One is Robert Kikuchi. One is the violinist, David Wong, and also Philip Katanda. Now, this song, the title is Asian American Dream. What Philip is doing is he's taking a very light jab at the pressures of getting ahead from university to the professional success.
Doctors and lawyers and dental hygiene. Well, it's an Asian American dream. Optometrists and pharmacists and engineering. Nine, quarter of a century. I think I paid my dues. This existential terrorism I've given me the blues. But long ago, a younger buck, a member of the race. But now that I am older, got to feed my own face. And now, sometimes I think I should go back to school. Become a dentist and lie by my pool. Marry a pharmacist and learn how to ski. Wait for a while and have a bourgeois baby. It's an Asian American dream. MGP and Porsche and 280Z. Well, it's an Asian American dream.
a light blue BMW and a silver Mercedes. Though Papa is a gardener, he longed for these and other things that he would do if he were free. He'd say to me, education, get on education, this on Asian American dream. MBA and CPA and MD and JD, well, it's on Asian American dream. DDS and MSW and the PhD, got my master's in plaster, my doctorate in degrees, but still suffering over achievement disease. And the more that I get, you know, the more that I got. Put my fingers back into the pot, and there's violence to our silence and hunger and escape that cannot be forgotten and cannot be erased. And now face to face it's end, time to choose. Did we outfight the white man or did we really lose? And this on Asian American dream. That investment and stock marketing, well, it's an Asian American dream. Bourgeois papers from a working class machine. My mama always had to sweep and scrub and clean. She never had the time to live and love and dream. She said to me, education, get an education. So I went back to school, I got my degree. Sailing in my sailboat, I think I'm finally free. But late at night while hiding in my fancy fur-lined hole, to get my pound of flesh, I see I had to sell my soul. So now, got to do more to feed my face and stay alive. Cause it really doesn't matter unless everyone arrives. And we can still have our fun and drink our cup of tea, but we got to keep on struggling if we want to stay free. And this an Asian American dream. Doctors and lawyers and dental hygiene, well, it's an Asian American dream. Bourgeois papers from a working class machine.
Now it's time for a fundraising wrap-up. If you tuned in last week, you probably realized that Pendergai and Co-op Radio had a small fundraising show last week, and we gave away an awful lot of prizes. But Colleen, first you might just tell the people how much we managed to raise.
$359.
Big hand from the crowd. $359. And a lot of people phoned in. We thank them very much. And perhaps I'll just go over the winners. Now, there are a lot of people, so you better listen carefully. I won't read the on-air winners because they know who they are. Okay, we had a draw for the people who donated or pledged the highest total. And Andy Kwong of Vancouver, B.C., and Carrie Mills of North Vancouver, B.C., for your pledges, you both have won a 12-pound turkey,
which you can pick up.
And the thing to do is to get your money in as soon as possible and phone Co-op Radio, ask for the station administrator, and she'll make arrangements for to get that turkey certificate out to you. And after that, we held a general raffle. These are for... anybody was eligible for these prizes, unless they won a prize already. So we had a turkey and two albums to give away. And the winner of the another 12-pound turkey is Gemma, and you're going to have to help me on this last name.
Dasun Sun, I think.
And in Vancouver, she has won a turkey. Albums go to Don Yee of Burnaby and Wendy Jang out at... residence at the University of British Columbia. So, Gemma,
Don and Wendy. The thing for you to do is to phone the get your money in as soon as possible, phone the station administrator, and make arrangements to pick up your prizes. That's it. Thank you. One final message. I neglected to give you the address or the phone number, so if you're mailing in your donation, write on your envelope, fundraising, I guess, care of Paula Butler, Station Administrator, Co-op Radio, 337 Carroll Street, Vancouver. And if you're phoning, ask for Paula Butler again at 684-8494. And one final message. Peter Timmermans, if you're listening out there, please phone us again at 684-8494. We have your address, but we don't know what city you called from. It could be Chicoutimi for all we know, so please phone in again. Okay, Barry.
Thanks very much, Clarence. Now it's time for What's Happening. We're going to go through a few items very quickly here because we're running quickly out of time. Today, as I recall, is January the 23rd, so upcoming there's a free law class by the People's Law School. It's going to be on the small claims court. It's January 28th and 29th, Monday and Tuesday. The lecturer will be Mr. Don Jang. Let's see what else we can take out of here. To know ourselves, a course on Chinese-Canadian history, community, and culture is going to be sponsored by the Chinese Cultural Center. It's happening at the Chinese Benevolent Association at 108 East Pender Street. The date is Saturday. The dates are Saturdays, and they're going for quite a while on a weekly basis from February the 2nd to March the 1st. Time, 1 to 3 p.m. And we're moving to another item here. The Chinese Library would like to remind you that it's time for you to renew your membership, at least if you're like most members of the Chinese Library or the Chinese Community Library Service Association, because those cards expire at the end of February. Also, the Chinese Library needs volunteers for library work, checking books out, doing mobile library work, doing visitation work, particularly on weekdays for hospital and senior citizens people. Let's see what else. Oh, by the way, if you're interested in checking books in and out for the Chinese Library, you can do that on weekends as well as weekdays. The Vietnamese Refugees Assistance Association would like to announce that the first family of refugees has arrived. It's a family of four. The VRAA needs donations, kitchenware, furniture, all these kinds of items are very much needed. Oh, before I forget, I should perhaps give you a few addresses here. Let me just backtrack. The Chinese Library is at 717 East Pender Street in Vancouver. You can call them up at 254-2107. The VRAA is located at 577 East Pender Street. I think their phone number is 253-5561. Success, the United Chinese Community Enrichment Services Society, is going to be giving two workshops, and they're going to be on immigrant parents' responsibilities. They're held on January 27th and on February 3rd. Both those days are Sundays, by the way. They're held in the afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Strathcona Community Center. January 27th, the workshop will be conducted by a panel of knowledgeable individuals, including school counselors, social workers, immigrant parents, and child care workers. The focus will be on community resources for assisting parents with problems, not necessarily serious problems, just difficulties in terms of cultural gap and so on. There will be routine problems that are considered as well, relationships, communications with children. As far as the February 3rd workshop is concerned, you can be expecting legal aspects of rearing children in Canada, and it'll be done by a child abuse team of the Ministry of Human Resources, including in that team a Chinese-Canadian worker. The emphasis will be on role definition and maybe at what age beating constitutes child abuse. Oh, a note for those people who, everybody who uses the Success Office, that's at 577 East Pender Street. It'll be closed all day Tuesday on January 29th for internal renovations. the United Chinese Community Enrichment Services Society, our success, is starting two new citizenship classes in February. One is starting February 5th, and that goes from 7 to 9:30 p.m. The other one is starting on Saturday, February the 9th, from 9 in the morning to 11:30 a.m. Both are joint programs with the Vancouver Community College. They run on a weekly basis, and it's $5 a term to prepare. The idea is to prepare for citizenship hearings. Okay, we're going to move quickly to another item here. John Wong from the Chinese Cultural Center would like to announce that Spring Festival is being planned, with 1980 being the Year of the Monkey. The Chinese Cultural Center activities include three artists and three media, an exhibition by David Lam, Cheng Heng, and Jim Wong Chu, February the 8th to 17th at the Chaolun Tower. As well, there's a Spring Flower Market. It's a fundraising function, February 8th to 18th at the Chinese Cultural Center. It's at 313 East Pender Street, by the way. Chinese Chess Tournament at the Chinese Mandolin Association is happening February 11th to 16th. In conjunction with the Chinatown Historic Area Planning Committee, a ceremony to mark the completion of the streetscape beautification project will be occurring on February the 17th, 1:30 in the afternoon. That's along the 100 block East Pender. In conjunction with the Chinese Mandolin Association New Year's Parade with Lion Dance on February 17th, that's going to be happening at 1 in the afternoon on Pender Street. There's a celebration banquet of that's going to be at the Golden Crown Restaurant, February the 17th, 6 in the evening, $12 per person. Tickets are available at the Chinese Cultural Center at 313 East Pender Street. And as well, the Strathcona Community Center activities will include ribbon cutting and opening of a new wing of a racquetball courts at the Strathcona Community Center, February 16th, 1 p.m. Strathcona Community Center open house will be occurring as well. There'll be information and displays regarding community groups. That's February 16th in the afternoon. There'll be demonstrations, activities, sports, and Chinese dance, martial arts will be part of the open house as well. And there's more about a China tour, and we don't really have enough time to go into that right now. I'm just going to skip to another, maybe the last item we'll have time for tonight, which is from the Chinese Mandolin Association at 108 East Pender Street. Oh, before I forget, you can contact the Chinese Cultural Center at 687-0729. Okay, back to the CBA, just very briefly. There's an all-candidates meeting done by the CBA, and it's going to be Sunday, February the 10th, 1980. Mandarin Center is the location, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. The focus is on Vancouver Center and Vancouver East. As well, there's a rally on January the 26th. There'll be five issue regarding the campus giveaway will be the focus. And that seems to just about wrap it up for Pender Guy for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. We encourage all listener comments and criticisms. The phone number to call is 684-8494. You can direct your comments to 337 Carroll Street, Pender Guy, 337 Carroll Street, Vancouver, BC, V6B2J4. Hear you next week.
Co-op Radio is having a benefit on Thursday, January 31st, with Kenny Brown and the Pervaders, Brandon Wolf and Doug and the Slugs. All the tickets for this event have been sold. On the 31st, Jazz Night will be preempted, and we'll be broadcasting the event live from 10:30 on. We hope if you didn't get a ticket in time that you'll tune in. We'd like to thank in advance all the people who made our benefit such a success, and we hope you have a good time at the Commodore on the 31st. See you there. You're listening to Co-op Radio, CFRO, 102.7 FM. The time right now is 3 minutes after 10, and it's time for Back in the Saddle.